the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this recording, Dave looks into knowing God. The main reading is Psalm 103. We're sorry for the audio quality of this recording. Some of the settings on the recorder got reset.
Last few months now, been looking at just the very nature, the character of God, right from creation. Started off, obviously, right at the beginning, nothing is impossible with God. He created everything. Out of nothing, God created everything. The more we know, the more we understand now about creation, we are just in awe how awesome He is. Nothing is impossible. Then, God is light, clear, honest, open, holy. Then we looked at God said. God is God who discloses Himself. Left to ourselves, we don't want to know God, we want to go our own way, we want to do our own thing. But God reveals Himself. God speaks. Hallelujah. Then God is good. Everything He does is good. Even when we don't understand it, God is good. God is, when we looked at the majesty of God, again, all within creation. Then last time we looked at the Trinity, always good to expand our mind. So can we fully understand it? Absolutely not, but it's an absolute fact. God is one divine essence with three individual distinct persons. We see Trinity right through nature as well, don't we? State of matter, solid, gas and liquid. Primary colours, we were arguing about those last time, really. Three primary colours, depending if you're colourblind. What was it? Red, green, and no, red. That's right. But we see it. We see the handiwork of God, don't we? And God reflects His nature, His character. Romans 1. The character, the nature, the power of God is revealed. And as we were looking on Sunday, and this is a quote from Tozer, very important quote. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. That's so important, because we can know a lot about God, but God is into knowing Him. And that's where we come. We looked at it on Sunday. I want to look at it again, because it's such a vital area. As I quoted on Sunday, it's probably one of the most important aspects of understanding New Testament Christianity, that God is Father. God is Father. Last year we looked at what we call the Father wound. Very interesting that if you look through many of atheists of history, either fatherless or bad fathers, or were wounded by father figures. Very interesting that. And if you look at the philosophies of today, interesting, you can see behind it a lot of issues with father, atheism, well, there's no father, agnosticism, not looking for a father, deism, not father not involved, liberalism, a father who doesn't care what I do, feminism, hurt by father, so I'll worship mother. And we can see all these things cropping up, and of course we don't even need to go into statistics socially behind it. They say that at one point 80%, maybe more, of convicts in our prison were fatherless. Fatherless. Very interesting, isn't it, how that comes through, and statistics tell us socially, educationally, economically, all those things affected by that. The great thing about the gospel and the word of God, it gives us an answer. May just pop into David, and I've preached on it before. Why wasn't David called when all the brothers were called? When Samuel came, said, "Get all your sons here," and David wasn't even a thought. Wasn't even a thought. He was out there. One issue. If you read Psalm 51, possibly, I don't know. Wouldn't argue either way. He could have been illegitimate. The Bible says, "I've been born. I was conceived in sin. My mother conceived me in sin." There's an argument for that. either way, he wasn't the favourite, was he? He was nowhere near. Because when all the seven were there, he was up there. So he was obviously sidelined. Usually the youngest is most looked after, is, of course it should be, is the spoilt one. Not in this case. So it's obviously something about David, he was pushed aside. But God picked him up. God changed him. And if you read later on, he looks after his mum and dad. He looks after his mum and dad. So even in that situation, God can change. But it has to be addressed, because obviously in these days we have absent fathers, abandoned, abusive fathers, austere, aloof. I got lovely Asia. Some have been good. Some have abdicated their responsibility. Some have been so adoring, but you can't say no. Now, we've got as I said on Sunday, we've got a two-year-old in the house now. And at that age, one of the favourite words we need to use is no, isn't it? Mm-hmm. No! Now, we don't like that. We don't like that, and he doesn't like it at all. No, and of course all toys are thrown out and all that kind. What's it for? He didn't understand. It's for his safety, his protection, his provision. And when we come and look a bit at what the fatherhood comes out, God is like that, isn't it? We don't understand sometimes, and we kick and we scream so often because our understanding is so immature, really. And God will say no. He's not a God that says, you carry on. No. He's a God that says no, because he sees the end and then the beginning. So right from the Old Testament, right from the beginning, we see the father heart of God. Let's read those verses. We know them very well. Genesis 3. Great picture of what sin does to us, our relationship with God, relationship with each other. We see God, where are you? Of course, God knew where they were. He wanted them to know where they were and for them to confess. And we see the heart of the Father pursuing. Now, have you ever lost children? I try to lose ours all the time. But there was, I've told you before, there was one time where I did lose Josh in the middle of America in one of those parks, big park, I think it was Universal. Now, it was his fault. And when it comes to us being lost, it's always our fault. It's never God's fault. But this one was definitely Josh's fault. Because I said, stay by here. I said, stay by here a minute. I'm going to just run around there to see where Jackie and Hannah, Mum and Hannah is.
Bring me with you, like
yeah, but I was running. You couldn't keep up with me, only eight. So I just stay by you now. And of course, I run around the corner. I come back. He's not there. Now, there's nothing, I don't think it's a worse feeling, is it? There's an emptiness. He's like, now, if you lose him in a shop, well, he can't go far, can they? Someone will pick him up. You lose him, this is a different country, thousands of people around, someone could have taken him, maybe, where they would have brought him back, who knows, you know? But that feeling, well, of course, it's a little bit different with the Lord, isn't it? Because he knows where we are, and but the pursuit, and that was panicking. So the first thing, Lord, you need to help me here now. Yeah. Need a bit of wisdom. Where would he have gone? Where would he have gone? And as we were coming through the park, there was a juggler come clown messing about in the middle. I thinking, let me try that first. And as I walked there he was, enjoying the juggler, the clown. No fear at all, no thoughts that he was lost. He had just wandered back to this place. So I said, Josh, come here. And of course, he's in the middle of a park, so you can't really get hold of him and give him what are you doing? I don't know, I wandered back here. But we know the heart of the Father is to pursue, isn't it? And to look, and where are you? We see the prodigal son, don't we? The prodigal son. Father is waiting for the son to return. Remember that God is a God who pursues. But there has to be a turning, as we'll read in a moment, those verses. There has to be a turning, a receiving, a believing. God does pursue. And so we see right there at the beginning a father heart, that he's the one who pursues. And then we see his revealing to Israel that he is their father. Exodus 4. There we are. God's Moses. Now it's time to return. Moses had finished, isn't he? 80 now, he's retired. He thought his time was at 40. At your peak, at all those things. 80 now, he's finished. The Lord has left him out there to deal with him, of course. God's time was now. And then he said, now, let me tell you, go back. This is the word of the Lord. Tell Israel, they are my firstborn. So we see there straight away the heart of God is revealing to Israel who they were. But even then, as we read in the prophets, how they rejected his fatherhood, how they rebelled against his fatherhood, yet God was revealing his fatherhood right back there to Israel. And then when Moses was dying, Deuteronomy is called the second law. He's reciting the law again for a new generation. Reciting, that's why you'll see all this. I've read this before when you read Deuteronomy. But he's telling a new generation. And it's his last will and testament. Always very important to listen to people's last words, because that's the most important thing. All the trivia is gone now, because these are last words. And Moses is explaining to Israel who they are. Deuteronomy 1. It's a beautiful picture again of a father carrying a son in it. Remember, used to put him on my shoulders, and you were like taller than everybody. You were secure. Although I remember one day we were on this, and I forgot how tall he was on top of me. He put him into a cactus. but the security as a father carries a son. Thankfully, God isn't like me, and he was here. He sees things coming. God.
For a child.
he looks hard, doesn't he? Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't you be trying to run away?
Yeah. Father carried his son, and that's a beauty, and that's why he said, "Don't be afraid." And again, I've told this before. Our kids have been spotted. Of course, we've been to many places, but I always remember when we came up out of the railway station into New York first time. Josh was 5, Hannah was about 8. I'm not a great city lover, but just the overwhelming sense of, you know, the noise and the crowds, and it was summer, so it was hot. Just the overwhelming sense. I was a bit taken aback myself, you know. But not once did they ever say, "Oh, Dad, I'm a bit afraid. You know, I'm a bit shaken." I'm, you know. Why? Because they were with parents. They were with mum and dad. There was no fear. Now, if they got lost there, they'd have been a bit afraid, I'm sure. But there was no fear. And that's a wonderful thing. When Father, he said, "That's right, don't be afraid." Even when all these things, why? Because I'm with you. I'll fight for you. I'll go ahead of you. And I'm your father. But even when they knew that, listen to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 is a song. It's called the Song of Moses. And Moses wanted to put this into a song. Because why? Because they would never forget a song, will you? Don't forget songs. You forget lots of things that people say. But a song, you remember. Remember, you remember songs from 50 years ago, didn't you? If you're old enough, of course. 40 years ago, 30 years ago. It's amazing. That's why the Psalms are songs. Psalms are songs. So that's why they knew the Psalms off by heart, because they would sing them. It's probably a good idea we begin to sing. That's why some of the choruses, I love choruses, but some of the old hymns with the doctrine in them, wonderful, because you remember the songs. They were singing some nursery rhymes today. I'm thinking, "God, I remember those nursery rhymes. Didn't I remember them?" Yeah. Because you sang them. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, 1 to 6. This is a song. We know the first bit because we sing it, don't we? "Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock." But then the song goes on. "But you've abandoned me." He said, "Why have you abandoned me? Am I not your father? Am I not your creator?" And he's appealing to them. And remember, they would sing that song. And obviously they didn't remember it or didn't put it into action, who he was. Of course, the Old Testament word Ab is father, which means everything, doesn't it? Father, begetter, parent, creator, inventor, originator, progenitor, ancestor, the one who is all in all, the one who started. "Am I not your father? Why are you rebelling? Why are you going your own way?" And for us who had kids, you're thinking, why are you not listening to me? Isn't it amazing how you don't listen to your parents when they know far more than you? They've been where you are, yet we still have that. And we're the same with the Lord, of course. So there he is. He's put that into a song so they will remember. Thankfully, the heart of the Father is still to pursue and to even to pursue even those that are orphans. Psalm 68. A father to the fatherless, defender of the widow, And of course, out from that, if you read the next verse, community, authority, belonging, liberty, release from captives. He sets a solitary in families, bless the Lord. That's why community, church is not important, it is vital, of course. And when we read those verses, remember James picks those up, doesn't he? James picks up, and in verse 27, James 1, he says, he uses the word religion, but he's what we understand, we say, that God accepts as pure and faultless is what? To look after the fatherless, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress, and keep yourself from being polluted by this world. God has got a great heart for children, isn't he? And for fatherlessness. One of the things, we looked at what made Jesus angry. One of the things that made Jesus angry is when the disciples stopped the kids coming to be blessed. He said, what on earth are you doing? They thought they were doing him a favour. Our kids are to be seen and not heard, generally. But Lord just wanted to touch them, bless them. And he made him angry. Why? Because his heart, and our heart should be, isn't it? We have a generation, we have kids that come through you, and we have had kids come through you, we know them very well, with their background, you think, dear, yeah. You know, they mess up, play up, do you wonder why? Years ago we could say, were your fathers? And that would be it, wouldn't it? Who's your father? And we'd know, and then we'd say, right, I'll have a chat to him, and that would be end of it. Not so much now, but his heart, isn't it? His heart is for that. But even then, we see the outworking of that. The outworking of God our Father is we just looked at a few, carries us, he's with us. Jeremiah 3. Just before that, he also used another lovely metaphor. Because God has got a relationship, isn't he? He says, you were married to me. And then now he's appealing, look, I thought you would call me father. Yet you rebelled against me. You went your own way. You did your own thing. You were you committed spiritual adultery. You went off to other things. And you can see his heart broken because of rebellion. And again, for us who've got kids, yeah, we love them, even though they could be tough sometimes. But it still doesn't stop us from having broken hearts sometimes, isn't it? For their lifestyle and for their choices. And if we are like that, God is safe, isn't he? That's why our heart is to be pleasing to him, to please him. Why? Because he's Father. Not to break his heart, not to grieve him. And we can. But the Father is to call him Father. Isaiah 64, 6-8. It's a beautiful scripture there. This is what we are. Our sin is filthy rags. We deserve everything you've got. I love that verse 8. But now. Oh, if we didn't have those buts there, we'd be in trouble. But now you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. Now we get into how he fathers us. Remember, New Testament word for father is pater, which means someone who nourishes, someone who protects, someone who upholds. New Testament tells us, Old Testament tells us what a father or parents are supposed to do. To teach and to train, to protect and to provide, to nurture, to also control, and to love. All those things, lots of other things. And we see in that, we see the father heart doing that, longing to do that, and going out of his way to do that. Why? Because he's a good father. Proverbs 3:11-12. So he's a good God. He's a God that will discipline. Why? Because you know, if you've ever had any dealings with a spoiled child, but a spoiled child becomes a spoiled adult, isn't it? And so you can go to your in-laws and say, what have you done? It's your fault, isn't it? Why? Because God does. And Hebrews picks it up, doesn't he? He uses the same words, Hebrews 12, we've read it a few times. He chastens, he rebukes, and he, Old Testament, King James, scourgeth, which means exactly what it means. He gets a whip. And if that's what he needs to do, why? Because he's a good God. He's a good God. We used to say, didn't we? Wait till your father comes home. although our mum was pretty good. And she would, that would be the end of a journey. Anyway, our mum would be pretty wieldy with a stick, although when she said something, I was it. If it was half hour in your bedroom, it was half hour, not a minute less, or a minute, you know, it was down. But generally, we'd say, wait till your father comes home, and I'd fear would hit the house, wouldn't it? But why? Because father our God's Father, God the Father, only disciplines what is for our benefit. Of course, as we said, later on, when we knew how to behave, when we knew how to behave in public, when we knew how to please and thank yous, people would say, oh, they're good kids, aren't they? And they're polite. Well, that doesn't happen overnight, does it? No, of course it doesn't. It happens because they've been disciplined and corrected and chastened and directed. And that's what the Father does, isn't he? He provides, he protects, and he points us in the right direction. Of course, you go through that phase, isn't it? Where, when you're a kid, I've said before, where dad is always the best of everything, isn't he? Get a teenager as well. Dad, I'm going to clear up with anything, isn't it? And then when you get to the 20s, maybe I'll ask dad, or get to the 30s, get to the 40s, I definitely need to, what does dad think about this? And then when you get your 50s and you think, I wonder what dad would have done here. Because dad's generally gone by then, didn't he? What if dad would have done then? And that's what we are to be with the Father. We are his children. We are his children. Looking to him. Well, of course, Old Testament, New Testament, now we are born again. We are, the word adoption, of course, we so often say we are adopted. Well, again, we've got to be careful there. We are not adopted as children. No, we are born, we are begotten. We are born again. We are regenerated. We have Holy Spirit within us. We are not orphans. We are partakers of the divine nature. Amazing. The Bible says you are born again with the word, the seed. It's where we get our word sperma. The seed of the word of God, his very life, comes into us, and we are born again. We are children by birth. The adoption, spirit of adoption, is the dignity of our relationship as believers, of sons putting us into position. Of course, in Roman law, what that meant is you would take the person adopting you, their name, the inheritance, everything. They would back you, they would be with you, but also they were responsible for you as well. So if you got into trouble, they would call father. Because you were his, and he was yours. So that's the wonder. But of course, we know that is not automatic. It is not something out of the blue. It has to be received and believed. And here we are, John 1, 10, verses we learnt as kids. John 1, 10 to 13. Again, stop there. Children of God. The word right. Authority, freedom, absolutely certain. Not just power, but a little bit different power with the authority. As we said before, I might have the power and the ability to drive, but until I get my license, I don't have the authority to drive. And that second word, authority, is that. I have the right, the legal right. Not just the power of God gives me, I'm born again as a child of God, but now he gives me the right, the authority to be the child of God. And with all its blessings and benefits, and of course, in a minute, responsibilities we look at, but the blessings of God, blessings of God. What is it, that verse, isn't it? He who did not spare his only son, surely he will freely give us all things to those who ask him. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. Now, remember, he's a good father. So you can ask him for lots of things. Doesn't mean you're going to get them, do you? Because he knows what's for our good. As we know for our children. And when they used to ask us for this, they'd say, oh, can I have a cat? Can I have a dog? Can I have a... Well, you'd have a menagerie in the house if you give them everything they wanted. And they never looked after them, did they? We had a rabbit. And well, and it ended up, Jackie looked after the rabbit. And when the rabbit died, we were more upset than Hannah, who wanted the rabbit 5 years earlier. And that's how it is, isn't it? So if you give, God doesn't give us everything we ask for, because, again, he knows what is beneficial for us. Isn't it amazing if he gives us everything we want, and now we're older looking back, you can say, thank you, Lord, for saying no. Thank you, Lord, for saying no to that prayer. because I can look back and see the benefits of that. So we have the right to become children of God. Romans 8, 12 to 17. Yeah, that word Abba, isn't it? The Aramaic, Ab is father, Abba is spontaneous relationship from a little child. Abba, if you go to the Middle East, you'll hear them calling, Dad, Abba, framed from the lips of an infant, which reveals absolute unreasoning trust, dependence. The cry of emotion of the heart reveals the soul of a believer and is spontaneously accomplished by, what have I got here? By a corroborating testimony of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit testifies with my spirit that I'm a child of God. It's something, as they used to say, I know because I know because I know, because His Spirit testifies, I know I'm a child of God. And when I say Abba, He knows, He hears. And now I'm an heir, H-E-I-R. Let's read those verses, picking up the same theme, Galatians 4, 4 to 7. Yeah, amazing. Sons of God and co-heirs with Jesus, brothers. If you remember in Matthew 28 when Jesus was talking, Mary I think, when he's saying, go and tell the disciples, go and tell my brothers. Very interesting, he drops a word in there, we sometimes can read over it pretty quickly. Again, our person, who we are in him. We are his brothers, co-heirs. He's our elder brother. Amazing, absolutely amazing. But we are heirs and co-heirs with all the blessings and the benefit that brings, that we can be sons of the living God. Well, out of that, we know who we are, we know who he is, who we are, and our response out of that. Well, again, I'm here to show the Father. I have his DNA, I have his nature, his character, now I am to show it. And he's very clear, isn't he? Those who love me will obey me. And obeying God, it makes perfect sense. Because I love him, I will obey him. He said, because he's Father. And he knows what's best. He knows. And the more we know him, the more we know he's a Father that hasn't failed, can't fail. Again, we may go back to those issues deep in our hearts with our fathers. We need to dig those out sometimes, or otherwise, as we said before, we reproduce them, reflect them, reject, maybe even, we've got to be careful we don't go too far the other way sometimes either. But God's looking for something from us, isn't he? Because we're his children. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 and verse 1 of chapter 7. Yeah, because we are his, we reflect him, and we should reflect him. As we said before, so often people would say, just like your father, wouldn't they? And that's what we want them to say about us and the Lord. Just like him, to be like Father. And that is purity, that's holiness. And things that are unclean, well, do we look at that? Well, some are very clear. Some will just look at the root. Where does it come from? What does it produce? Easy questions. Where is it from? What did it produce? Easily. Then we say, well, no, that's dodgy. That's unclean. Well, we leave it alone. We leave it alone. Why? Because ultimately I'm reflecting Father. And I don't want anyone pointing and saying, well, if that's God, if that's who he is, I don't want to know anything. Mm-hmm. See, we are Jesus to people, aren't we? Jesus isn't coming back to preach again. No. We're his hands, we're his feet, we're his reflection. That's why he says, we didn't read it tonight, but we remember the verse, Philippians 2:14. Can we remember it? Do everything without complaining, grumbling, mourning. Why? Because we show ourselves children of the living God. Shining, showing Jesus in a crooked world. Ooh-hoo-hoo. And that's always, I know we like to forget that verse, I do it sometimes as well, many times. But out of that, purity, separation, which we so often forget, just the last this week really, or last 2 weeks, just some, well, I've thought they were men of God, but things in their past, never ever dealt with. And if you don't deal with them, they will catch up with you. That's how it goes. It'll catch up with you. we have to confess, we deal with the law, but there's some things we've got to deal with this way as well. People, that's why the principle of restitution is not an Old Testament principle, it's a New Testament. When Zacchaeus had stolen, he said, oh, first of all, generosity, half of what he had, he was given away, but if he'd stolen, four times the amount. Well, that's only Old Testament principles, you only give that amount when you were caught. If you owned up, you would give, and you just add 20% on top. That's good system even then. You could do a bit of that now, restitution, stop people stealing. But if you were caught, then you'd have to pay four times the amount. And that's what he was owning up, yet still paying the amount that he didn't have to pay. Why? Because he understood Christ had come into his life, and he wanted everyone to know that Christ had come into his life, and that's why his life had changed. And however difficult that was going to be, remember, he was a wealthy man. Had no friends, had no his family didn't want to know him, of course, because he was a thief and a traitor, and they had labelled him. What was his name meant? Pure. And they thought, well, that's gone straight away. He wanted no pure about Zacchaeus. He was a thief, traitor, stinker. So his family would have disowned him, but cost him a lot. But he knew what it meant because he was now child of God. And whatever it costs, whatever God tells us, whatever God sends us, doesn't matter. Why? Because I'm a child of God. And he'll be with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Bless the Lord. Wonderful. Here's our last verse. Again, verses we know very well. 1 John 2:15-17. If you're anchored to this world, loving this world, the love of the Father is not in you. Great test, great question. We've looked at the test in 1 John, haven't we? The test of being a child of God. And of course, that is reflected in our behaviour and what we believe. John is filled with that, isn't he? Father, the life of Christ, it's a blessed gift. Our sonship is a wonderful, supreme gift of life. How great the love God has lavished on us that we could be called children of God. Out of that comes love for him supremely, love for one another, even when we don't like it, fellowship with Father, of course, but his righteousness coming out, and an avoidance of sin, a hatred of sin. And sometimes we don't hate sin, do we? Do we hate sin? Let me tell you. You just, at the end of the week, just catalogue what you've watched on TV, and then I'll tell you if you really hate sin. How many times they've taken the Lord's name in vain, and we've carried on watching. And it didn't just, oh my God, anymore. Jesus Christ is just flippantly thrown around, isn't it? And that, the Bible's very clear about that, isn't he? We take his name in vain, it is a serious offence towards God. And we are pure, we are holy. Why? Because we are sons of the living God and we love him above anybody and anything else. And then we can love anybody then. Hallelujah, because I'm his son, I'm his daughter. And because he loves everybody, hallelujah, we can love everybody. Even when they're not very nice. Neither are we sometimes. God is good, and he's Father. Bless him.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.